Bueno, buenos días. Thank you for the invitation to worship community. I've been thinking a lot about this whole notion that Satan offered Jesus the kingdoms of the world, particularly with the 500 years of the Anabaptist anniversary of the first Anabaptist. I've been struck by this notion that a lot of Anabaptists, including myself, we trust sometimes the kingdoms of the world to bring the kingdom of God. And when I was a young guy in seminary, I was exposed to this wonderful theology of the Anabaptists that we don't belong to this world. And we are not ruled by these kingdoms. I grew up in Argentina, in the middle of dictatorships until, let me see, when I was 23 or 24, I voted for the first time, democracy. But as a young kid, I experienced the brutality of dictators. I remember having long hair, 60 years, bare, and being stopped by the police, the armed forces, sort of what we have in DC now, different city. And asking me, oh, what about your hair? So they will trim your hair right away, right there, your beard, and say, where's your ID? Oh, I didn't bring it with me, the national ID. So you will have to spend 48 hours in the police station for background, a criminal check background. Then after that, we have democracy. With democracy came a flavor of freedom that most of us were aware of. But then there was a wave of, I was in seminary there, liberation theology. We were exposed to this Marxist theology that kind of was equating Marxism with Christianity. Okay? So the Exodus, the whole thing. So we went from, I don't know, this dictatorship type of flavor on the right side to this extreme left kind of version of the kingdom of God. Then I was working for my father-in-law, big theologian. And he sent me, say, well, they invited me to Nicaragua, 91. You go for me, represent me. Oh, wow, that's cool. So it's a young kid, Nicaragua, 91, Daniel Ortega, Comandante Ortega, the current dictator. And he was preaching to all the pastors. He was preaching the kingdom of God, liberation theology, Marxist theology. So I felt like, this is so weird, man. We come from different versions of the kingdom in worldly terms, and I didn't feel comfortable. Now, Satan is offering Jesus the kingdoms of the world. But my first suspicion is, how can Satan, the liar, offer something that is truthful? How can he be reliable if we know he's a liar? Whatever you think about Satan, mythology, whatever Satan is in your mind, okay? So Jesus, you know, confronts Satan and say, well, you can offer that, you know, you don't rule. Satan, by definition, is a liar, but he also presents himself as the ruler of the world. You know, the rulers of the world, in this world, what do they seek? And I'm preaching to the choir here. They seek power, dominion. They seek to defeat by violence. We are seeing the whole thing in real time now. It's not new. But we know that Jesus brings a different type of politics. And what is politics? I did the AI thing. Politics is the process by which people make collective decisions about how to live together. It's pretty cool. How power, resources, and responsibilities are distributed within a community, society, or nation. Now, the big question is, whose politics? Who defined the values and priorities of the politics of the people? And here in America, we have, well, we have in different parts of the world, different groups fighting all the time for. They want to define the politics for everybody. And I know I'm getting older. I'm fed up with that. I'm tired of that. Aren't you tired of that? Having different groups coming every 8 years or 4 years until now we're going to go this direction. And this is the last version of our politics as a nation. Now, whose politics do we follow? Now, my thesis is that. And this is not an innovative thesis. It's part of the Anabaptist tradition. The church has historically been tempted to align with political ideologies and the kingdoms of the world. This has happened since the time of Samuel. Remember Samuel, 1 Samuel 8? What happened there? The people of Israel, the liberated people of God, the Hebrews, the former slaves, now they wanted a king. And we just did that, no king. But they wanted a Pharaoh. They wanted a king. Why? Because that's in the heart of human beings. We wanted somebody to lead us, to war, to organize us, to feed us, etc. So this is no new. Since the time of Moses, the people of God had been seduced to side with the political powers to bring the kingdom of God to earth. And that includes us with our versions of political powers. But the role of the church, and this is where I learned in my young years with my Anabaptist teachers, the role of the church is to be a witness and extension of the kingdom of God. So, you know, when I was in Elkhart with the Mennonites, I felt, well, these Mennonites, they got it, you know. But they're so sectarian, you know. They want to be like a little kingdom themselves. You know, they see themselves like we are the holy ones, like John the Baptist type of people. So I suspect the belief that we are the holy kingdom on earth is also wrong, because we can be tempted to believe that we are the small church, holy ones, untouched. But the reality is that we are part of the world. And the whole thing is, like our pastor used to say, Melissa, it's a big mess. So let's look up carefully at the temptations. Remember the temptations? The first temptation is about bread. Bread is what? The economy. It's the economy, stupid. Yeah. Remember that? Bill Clinton. So if you are the son of God, command these stones to become bread. So the issue of powers of the world is that if you become a good president or a good king for the economy, you got it. So Jesus basically denies this power. And Jesus says, you need the word of God, not just bread. I remember when I was young reading Feuerbach. Have you ever read Feuerbach? What is one of his famous statements? In Spanish, el hombre es lo que come. Man is what you eat. You know, what defines man or men is what you eat. So Jesus said, man shall not live, or human beings shall not live by bread alone. So the kingdom of God concerning the economy, we address hunger, but not through economic control or dependence. True justice feeds the body and restores the soul. I've been working for over a year in this place where we feed people, the immigrant community. And they come, I don't know, yesterday, how many people come? Amazing. But I felt like, at some point, I felt like, well, maybe you are doing toxic charity. Just feeding the people with food is not enough. It's good. It's a basic need. But we need something else. We need church. We need spiritual development. So the second temptation is Satan offering Jesus, throw yourself down from here, for it's written, blah, 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 blah. So what's Satan offering here? He's offering showmanship. And we are seeing some of this in our current politics. Now he's offering to use religion as a spectacle. So if you do that, you'll sort of develop some sort of Christian nationalism. And this is the temptation of institutional religion, to manipulate God for power of popularity. The third temptation is just offering all the kingdoms, all the powers. And Jesus rejects that definitely. Now, Jesus, when he was operating in his social political environment, you probably heard this, but how many groups were there? Like, were strong political groups? Remember that? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, and the Zealots. Now, the Pharisees were the purity guy, the liturgy guy. And they offer like a super mullah in Iran, super mullah, super pope, okay? And super pope would run the world, and the temple would be the center of the whole thing, and the liturgies, you know, the rituals, cleanings, all that kind of thing, is central to the Pharisees. And Jesus fought that a lot. Then the Essenes were kind of John the Baptist. They withdraw. They were the Mennonites, so they live in caves. Purity, candles, eating bugs. We do better today. But they were kind of, okay, if you want to be a faithful child of God, you withdraw. Okay, withdraw. And you are into holy purity and following the scriptures and the Torah. And then the Sadducees. The Sadducees were more like, I don't know, I come from an Italian family. The Italians, they normally smile and will trade with you, no matter who you are. pragmatism. We need to collaborate with the powers. I don't care who is running. I don't care if they are liberal, left, right. We do business. We do business as best as we can. You know, we keep going. I have an uncle. He had that philosophy. He said, don't think about politics. You know, we do business. Money, you know. Nobody who rules. And the zealots. The zealots what? Che Guevara, radical left. Confrontation, violence. Now, Jesus, in his group, those 12 apostles, he had many of these guys, Simon, Peter. Some of them, they had the sicary. The sicary was a special knife, dagger, to kill Roman soldiers in the multitudes. I remember when Jesus, he went to pray, they came with two swords. He said, Master, we have two swords. And Jesus said, enough with that. That's enough. I mean, enough source or stop with that. So Jesus resisted all these political, ideological positions and groups of his times. And he brought something new. And what struck me of Jesus, since I was a young kid, Jesus delivered. It wasn't just talk. He walked the talk. I love that phrase. He walked the talk. Jesus did it. Not only he preached this, and that's what I see in our humble community, what we try to do. We try to engage with, you know, with the homeless, with immigrants, with people in prison, all kinds of things. I think we are on track on that. But my friends, my suggestion is that we don't need to get distracted by the politics of the world. We need to keep preaching the politics of Jesus and doing the politics of Jesus. That's our brand. That's our best impact in the world. Now, some of you, I know that some of you are into political groups or into politics now, going to action, whatever, or going to the house. All that is cool. It's great. But don't be delusioned that that is going to replace the community of faith that follows the politics of Jesus. That's my advice, my exhortation. Don't get confused. Because the politics of the world will continue to be the politics of the world. We can improve here or there, you know, kind of type Calvinist reform type of people, but we follow the politics of Jesus. I remember I end with this. My daughter is here, Christina, when she was, I'm not going to mention name, but when she was, how do you call that? When they made you a lawyer here? The bar. Okay. There was family there. One of the family, he was the head of the house, right? I'm not going to say his name, but there was like a brunch or something to eat. And I went to this guy, said, oh, you're a politician. Yeah, yeah. And you are the head of the house. Oh, wow. Big shot, man. Big shot. So you're probably rich. You know, I was coming from Argentina. Argentina politicians are rich, wealthy, you know. He told me, oh, no, we are public servants. Oh, wow, public servant. That sounds really cool, man, almost Mennonite, public servant, servant leaders. I say, okay, but let me ask you, you know, I'm very disruptive sometimes in my conversations, but let me be kind of ask you, okay, how much you make? Oh, no, they only pay us 12,000, like an stipend a year. Oh, come on, man, come on, let's be real. You're in politics. He said, no, we are public servants. But then he said, I carry on the agenda of the kingdom of God. Oh, wow. Well, in all the kind of evangelical things we believe, you know, he was very conservative, but he was very honest. I thought, wow, man. Yeah, but that's not the kingdom of God. That's just a partisan politics. Yeah, you might be right, but I believe that's the kingdom of God. So I want to conclude here, but I was struck by this conviction that he was carrying the kingdom of God agenda. And I could bring a Mennonite or radical left person and say the same thing and carry on the kingdom of God agenda. That would have been really interesting. Maybe having a cup of wine and a conversation. Hey, how do we find a middle ground here between your kingdom and my kingdom? So let's be focused on this kingdom of Jesus.